Good morning.
Good morning.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I make an effort at sermons, and I don't ever claim that any of them are any good, but when I make an effort, I try to give the people in church with us something for the week, some thought, some idea, something to think about, latch back onto the gospel, and pull one thought out of it. This morning, I'm stuck, because not only do I have one message, but I have two messages in the gospel. And it's not just for the week. It's for your lifetime. The first message I would ask you to carry away from this gospel is from the 23rd verse, in which Jesus is described. He doesn't say anything at this point, but he's described by the verse. And the verse says what? It says, after they had fed the people, Jesus sent the disciples away, and he went up onto a mountain to pray by himself. And I would like you to carry away the thought from that verse that Christ had prayed with thousands just before that. He had prayed, obviously, with the disciples, all 12 of them. And he sent them all away, and then he turned to private prayer of his own. You see, Christ is teaching us without saying a word that there are two kinds of prayer that we enter into. One is the prayer that is in community, among and with each other. And you all remember that Christ, when he was asked about that, gave us the Our Father. But the second thing, the thing that we have to remind ourselves to do, is to find that mountain. And it doesn't have to be a mountain. It can be Lake Michigan's shore. It can be the front seat of the car as you drive along. But somewhere you have to have your own mountain that you can retreat to and pray in solitude. So from that verse, which is verse 23, I would say to you, carry the two thoughts. Community prayer, because in community prayer you support each other, and that need, even Christ felt it, to go to the mountain and be alone in prayer. The second lesson I would lead you to in this gospel is, of course, what else could it be? Walking on the water. How can you do it? How can you do it? And here's Peter the boisterous, Peter the loudmouth, Peter the fellow that says whatever comes into the top of his head. He sees Christ out there walking on the water and he says, hey, let me come to you. I imagine it in my mind, like, you know, the movie that you would see on TV or something. Netflix would make a movie. And Peter sets off to walk. You and I have to realize that as we walk through life, we in effect are Peter. We are going to walk in calmness, but just like Peter in the gospel, we're going to walk in storm. And when we walk in storm, we're going to be just like Peter. As long as we have faith in Christ, we'll walk. will be on top of the water. Now, I am a terrible swimmer. I can do the side stroke for a mile. But let one dribble of water get in my mouth, and I would fancy that I could get up and walk on the water to get out of it. It's just miserable to me. And so I identify with Peter. I identify with Peter. That when you're walking on the surface, that's fine. But boy, when you start sinking, you're in trouble. And he was, and he cried out to Christ. And so let the lesson be, when you are walking in life, and if you encounter storms and tribulation, then that's a special time to pray in secret and to seek Christ, because the storm which rattled Peter is likely to rattle us. And it's the faith that Peter eventually, and the disciples, I have to give them credit, when Christ got into the boat and the storm ceased, then they had their faith. But when you call on Christ in trials and tribulation, it may take some time, but ultimately he will walk with you and lead you to a safe harbor. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.